What were you saying?
Vaginas are a delicacy somewhere.
That's
a big thing on Instagram where this guy was massaging it.
Okay.
And it was...
Like where?
On a plate.
But what does that do for anyone? To massage it? Is it like tenderizing it?
No, I don't know.
Why I'm a vegan.
This is,
ding!
I would like to procure the bag.
I want
to
be a rich bitch. Penthouse door man. Money, rich bitch.
Hey!
Give me that bag. Rich bitch.
Yes, you're so rich.
Payment.
So well, that's going to be fun, little intro. Hi!
Let's lighten this thing up a little.
And we're back to a very unhinged episode.
Welcome to I Want to Be a Rich Bitch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am your host, Edward Miske.
And I'm your other host, Sarah Sees.
Yes. And welcome to whatever this is about to be.
I just like that you're like, I am the host. There's no co-host.
Didn't I say your host?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I'm your host.
No, I think you did. I'm just making it about me.
Typical actress.
Oh my God. The only one in the room.
She's not an actress anymore.
I'm a vegan.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about me. Sarah.
Hi.
How have you?
Oh my God.
Been a rich bitch.
How have I
lately?
Gosh. Okay. Well. Oh. Okay. I have a lot of things actually, which is good.
I think we both have a lot of things.
I think so too.
Or maybe I don't. Actually, whatever.
They're making it about you now. Which I love. Please, make
it
about you. I'm
allowed to make it about me.
Well, how I've been a beach. Well, I just spent 6 days, maybe five, maybe more. I don't know. It was a lot. In Woodstock, in a bougie cabin, one wall of glass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Putting on a show for the wildlife.
Truly. Just the wildlife, though. And maybe
that
somebody
you know
who wants to walk in the woods and really take a gander. Good for them, honestly. You deserved it. For going that far. But anyway, it was just so wonderful. And we were there looking at event spaces for our wedding. And, you know, it's the thing about Woodstock is that's so dope. Or anywhere in the Hudson Valley. Like, New York State is so beautiful because the city is the metropolis. And then you get out of it and it's just wilderness realness. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's really funny is I think people think of New York and they just think of New York City immediately.
Yeah.
But then you leave here and it's like banjo land.
It's
like,
it's great banjo.
I mean, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful banjos.
Yeah. beautiful banjos.
Beautiful banj. Everybody lives up there. There's so many cool enclaves of artists. And we just have a really soft spot for specifically Woodstock. But we also loved Kingston. We toured a vicinity there. And it was just really magical to go to these spaces and not feel like, because a wedding can be really cookie cutter. Some of these live, laugh, love weddings make me want to never get married again. Anyway, you know what I mean?
Oh.
The second time. But I think that there's just something really magical about the energy of the place. Like so many music legends are still there, living there. It's just you feel it. The food is all farm to table. Like all the culinary schools are there.
That's my favorite part about upstate.
Oh, it's wildly good. The food is.
Oh, I'm.
You get
familiar.
It.
Yes.
And so a couple of the spaces we want to do the rehearsal dinner at are just nothing is a chain. Everything is just magical. And there's also like a lot of artists that want to collaborate for your wedding. They're like, tell us what lighting. Just tell us what you want. What are you envisioning? Is it a party? And we're like, it's a party. They're like, well, we have an after-party space, and it's one of the places we're looking at, which we'll probably go with. I'll tell you the name off camera, and you're going to laugh, but I think you'll love it.
It's called the Cow's Vagina.
Oh, yeah, that's it. No.
Guess what they serve
that's
there.
That's not rich bitch behavior. But, yeah, there was a lot of spaces that just really were about, like, let's make this a celebration, because really it's for our friends. Like, we could just go to a courthouse, and we get what we get out of it. Mm-hmm. But this is for, like, I want to party with my friends. I want all the people I love to be with me. I want us to have a good time. And there's like magical fairy tale woods realness. It's holy ground. It used to be a recording studio, a famous one where a lot of, I can't even go on the list of the people. There's a Janis Joplin room for me to get ready in.
Oh, Janis.
It's wildly incredible.
We love her, Janis.
Oh, Janis.
Part of the 27 Club.
I know. And gosh, what a soul.
What a soul. Drugs.
But anyway, drugs. But she was, so that's place, yeah. If you wander off in the woods, who knows what will happen to you. But there's like there's a stone. They're making hand place stone archways that lead to the river, and it's stunning. Anyway, my point is that we kind of went wild buying the vinyls. We went wild eating the foods and looking at the venues, and it felt really nice to just do that, go to a cabin, relax, disconnect, and it's like rejuvenating because their burnout, guys, is dangerous. Burnout is real. Burnout is dangerous. I think we're all being worn down by the world right now.
Girl, I used to work at a place that didn't believe that burnout was real at all. Such a joy.
That's insane. That's like saying...
Truly.
Like, violence is not real.
Truly, it was insane, by definition.
Literally insane. Well, I'm here to say it's very real.
It's very real. I'm in it right now.
Okay, and to that extent, this is to you and to everyone that's feeling burnout right now. This is the time, then, to take a step back and focus on... Do things that give you pleasure, make you happy, make you relaxed. Eat really tasty things. Live your life because, honestly, guys, we have this very limited amount of time here. And burnout is not worth it to, you know, it's like, I have to do this. I have to succeed in this. I have to. Guess what, though? With burnout, you start to be less good at anything. And your work output is trash. You know what I mean? Like, it just isn't as good to your caliber.
It's just millennials in general.
Yeah, and your soul is being crushed. So, yes, like, as artists specifically, if you're burnt out, you're not going to hit all those, like, you know, even Mike, as we were away, when he had his phone away and he was not concentrating on anything that was, like, that's stifling him in terms of, like, anything with work or anything with stress. And all these ideas came flooding in for, like, movies for him and stuff that he hadn't been feeling in a long time because we were finally quiet.
Right, because you're not around the go, 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 go all the time. This is why, and controversial opinion, but this is why I always talk about how I miss the beginning of the pandemic when everything was shut down. not for the death and destruction
Of
it all.
Not the bodies in Central Park.
Like, God, I forgot about that. That was terrifying. And I lived right by Central Park, so it was like, meh. I just mean, like, the whole, and I say this a lot, so, like, forgive me for repeating myself, like, all the time, but I miss the whole, like, the first week of it, I had lost my job, everything was a big question mark, and it was just kind of like, huh, all right, well, cool, and no one texted me, called me, needed anything, emailed me asking for things that I needed to do or be anywhere or, like, do anything.
You didn't know me yet.
Because I didn't know you yet.
We would have been like, let's grab a bottle and get on that rooftop.
I mean, that's kind of what Brooke and I did, though.
That's what I would do.
Like,
that's all I did with Dorian.
As soon as we were allowed to drink in the streets, we were like, well, we're going to turn this bitch up.
Yeah.
And that was truly one of the most fun summers I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Which, to your point of, like, shutting the things out and, like, whatever, one of the other best summers of my life was the summer where... the housing market crashed.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm not kidding.
So
I was working.
Next shooting. I was like, can't wait. Do you like things?
I was working in finance and I had gotten laid off and I got a severance package that was really nice. And I just had the whole summer off. Happened in June, June or July. And I just spent the whole summer collecting dollars and, like, doing yoga and, like, creating things and writing. And, like, one of the songs that I was able to record at the one studio down in D.C. at the end of 2020, like, that was written that summer.
Wow.
And I had so many things that I was able to do once I was not in, like, corporate land.
Right.
And everything shut down, but I was financially supported to do that, which I think is such a thing that we need to have a conversation about. Not necessarily now, but just in general.
No, I agree.
We're like... When you're financially stable and you're in a place where, like, you don't have to worry about where money's coming from.
It really is a weight.
You don't need to worry about bills or whatever, like, unfamiliar at the moment. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you have that padding, you have that cushion, you have that assurance that money is coming, it just makes your brain space so much calmer to be able to create.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me that the two times in my life that I felt the best about just life in general.
Yeah.
Was right after the housing market crash and right after COVID shut the entire world down. Those are the best two summers of my life.
Well, I think we have a possibility, though, regardless of any financials, I truly mean this, of having, like, the best summer ever, because I feel like there's so many things we can do to comfort ourselves and give ourselves little things even. Or, like, there's a lot of, I mean, for those of us who live in the Hudson Valley or in New York or whatever, and anywhere in the United States, there's these, not a sponsor, but they should be because I've gone to them so many times, getaway cabins, which are not that pricey, but are very bougie and cool. Mm-hmm. And they are meant for this. They are designed for this. When you walk in your cabin door, there's a little box that says, put your phone in here now.
Oh, fun.
Like, get it in there. And then there's like little crayons and games for adults. Like, and then there's, like, books about just chilling out or, like, all this cool stuff, and then a Bluetooth speaker that you can put your phone on and put Spotify on an airplane, and then you just...
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
I also thought that you were going to say something to the effect of, like, all the cool free shit that happens in New York City in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
the, oh, yeah. The I can say that, too.
The movies in the park. Yes. And, like, all the, like, stuff like that. I just love... Summer in the city, I think, is such a fun experience. Like, it's hot, it's sticky, it's terrible.
And all the people that I are to have left that are, you're like, okay, be in the Hamptons, whatever. Whatever. But we love.
But that's the other thing, too. All of those people leave.
Yeah.
And so it's like the New Yorkers who are like working to make the dollars are left. And when that happens and there's all the free things to do, you can just kind of like, you know, pack a little cooler of Aperol spritzes and go to Bryant Park and watch a movie.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, Pride is obviously over the summer, which is super fun.
So dope.
There's so much free stuff. And so, like, for my New Yorkers, if you're unaware of the free stuff that happens here in the city, like, go seriously look it up. I'll see if I can find a
NYCGO.
Link.
NYCGO.com/free.
Yeah. Oh, is that one of them? Is that one of them? Okay.
Yeah, that's got a list of all the free stuff always happening.
We'll put the link right here. NYCGO.com/free.
NYCGO.com/free. It's right here. Look at her.
Not
Look
sponsored.
On her. Not sponsored at all. Well, New York is our sponsor because she's raised us and beat the hell out of us. But also I wanted to say, too, like, you're exactly right. And there's so much to do in the city and, like, in our neighborhood uptown. There's free movies at, you know, a couple facilities where we are outside. Al fresco, they call them.
Al fresco lunch. We love an al fresco.
Like when I go to Taco
moment.
Bell and I say make it al fresco. Anyway, I'm not a sponsor, but I love them. I should.
Also, probably not the same thing?
Not at all, but they call it that.
Oh, okay, great.
It's like they take out all the dairy and the meat and they give you more guacamole and tomatoes and they make it like upgraded for you.
Okay.
It's just a word you can say and they know how to do it.
I literally was going to be like, that's an Italian word. And it is.
And it is.
But for Taco Bell.
That's Taco Bell. And I could be saying, it says El Fresco on it.
Oh,
so,
El Fresco.
Yeah. So it's
different.
Different, but
not
whatever.
Al Fresco.
But anyway.
Fresco.
That's a free little upgrade.
Her.
Yeah, don't know her, but it's also a free thing you can do. So anyway, I'm all about that. And I think even when cash is tight, even when all the things are being crazy, there's things you can do to heal yourself and nurture yourself and be kind to yourself. And some of that is mental health related. Some of that is eating good foods and like doing free stuff that's amazing. So and hanging out with people that you love and care about and don't bring you down with their bullshit. So anyway, that's my antidote to burnout, even the free one. How have you been a rich bitch, huh? You, co-host, other than cry.
Emotions
are rich.
I'm not a real crier.
Me neither. Ugh.
I get close, and then I just feel like it's not worth it.
Oh, wow. Something to unpack.
Do I need help?
Yeah. Something to unpack.
I actually don't know if that's a good or bad thing because I feel like it's being in control maybe of the way that I react to and respond to things.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like, don't cry.
Yeah, you're not
I'm
like, just kind of like your face.
I'm just like, there are bigger things to get upset about. This
sure.
is not important.
Sure.
And so I think one of the things that I've been really kind of doing a balancing act with over the last, like, week or so has really kind of, like, I don't get angry. I'm not an angry person.
Okay.
I feel like there is internal rage that I just kind of deal with.
But you are allowed to get angry.
You're totally allowed to get angry.
Please, because then one day you...
It's just... right.
Yeah, like...
Great.
You can, but I love... Keep going, though. You've been regulating yourself.
Yeah, because I think...
In a great way.
I think regulating is important, especially when you have, like, really super heightened... Whatever. Do I sound like a psychopath right now?
No. I'm commiserating.
Yeah, because
like,
I mean,
with my dad's thing and all the things. Totally. I was like, wedding, dad.
Yeah,
mom?
you just kind of have to like self calm yourself.
Yep, self
in a way.
Yeah, regulated.
Is that what it's called?
In psychiatry, because I obviously go to therapy. They say there's something really special about like if you can regulate yourself. It's not stopping yourself from having emotions.
Right.
It's realizing that. Thoughts are not sometimes like real, especially at the extent you're going. Like,
right.
if this means this and this and this and this, that's regulating the thing.
Yeah.
You know, don't lose it over isn't worth it.
So, right. So it really is just kind of been telling myself when I do have like moments of frustration or moments of like, this isn't going how I thought it was going to go. Or like, not like the yay excited stuff, like I still let out a little bit more.
Yeah, I would love
but it. I think it's more so telling myself for more the negative side of things that like I'm in control of how I feel.
Yes.
And I'm also in control of outcome most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But furthermore, when you're not in control of the outcome, you are in control of how you respond to the outcome.
100%.
And that has been something I've had to remind myself a lot of lately, just because I've been having this weird, like, existential crisis of, like, which we all are. Everyone's lost. Everyone's having
a crisis. If they're saying they're not,
they're lying.
They are.
But, like, I'm 30 years old.
Yeah.
30.
Minus 10.
Yeah. I just turned 30.
Same.
And I feel like I've had a job since I was 15 years old, and I feel like I have nothing to show for it.
Oh, that's and so, so I'm not kind reality. Of, but keep going.
I know that, but like, but the way I
have
feel,
to say that because that's what I know.
Yes, and also the way that I feel is that I don't.
Sure.
And so I know, like,
this is all not real, by the way. None of this you see here.
So, like, the point I'm trying to make is that, like, in knowing that I'm in control of how I feel and respond to things. And being able to look back, feeling the way that I feel about, like, I have nothing to show for anything I've done my whole life, is really kind of just making the point to look at the things I have done and be like, no, bitch, you wrong. Look at this, 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 this. And that's all the things you've done.
Yes.
It's one of the reasons why, like, self-absorbed, whatever as it may be, I hang things that I've done on my walls.
That's beautiful. I do the so same that damn I can, thing.
And it's not to be like, oh, look at what I did. But for me, it's like, look at what you did.
Right.
And
we need a refresher.
I need the reminder because I think so often we get caught, especially millennials. Oh my God, us poor millennials.
we
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about any of this, but we millennials are suffering.
Yeah.
We have been handed some shit.
Yeah. We weren't given any favors.
But I need the reminder that I've done things.
Yeah.
Because I also feel like social media has played into this as well, where, like, you see all these people performing some kind of successful life.
Sure.
And whether or not it's true success or it's generated for Instagram, we look at that and we can't help but compare ourselves.
Sure, sure, sure.
And so looking at I spend a lot of time on social media. Surprise!
Comparison is the thief of joy.
It truly is. Yeah. And that's another thing that I have to remind myself is, like, this is not all real.
No.
You're seeing, and it's even true for my social media.
I was going to say, you look like you're killing it every day.
And that's why I'm bringing this up, because, yes, that's what we put out there.
Yeah.
Because I also don't want to put online when, like, I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
Like, that's not... I've done that before, and it didn't go very well.
But it's usually
a
story. I don't make it a grid, you know?
Yeah, I've done that before, and it didn't go very well. So I kind of shy away from, like, actually speaking about the things that scare me in my life.
Yeah.
And I think my rich pitch moment is just kind of recognizing that I'm in control of how I respond to things and being okay with the fact that that it doesn't have to always be shiny and perfect and pressed.
Nothing.
You know, and that's, again, millennials in the early Instagram generation where everything was shiny and perfect and pressed.
Yeah.
And I think we still have a hangover from that.
We do.
Where we don't post anything unless it's great. Or and then we see people posting things where they're like, I'm hurting, I need help. And something in my brain and something I'm sure in other people's brains are like, oh, brother.
Mm.
Because we just kind of are like, yeah, get in line, kid.
Get in line. Yeah, we're like 85. We're like, welcome to hell, kid. Welcome to hell. Yeah, what's that in Home Alone 2? He's like, ain't much better in here, kid. When he jumps into the taxi and the prostitutes, where they chase him, it's weird. Anyway, or they say to him, he's like a child. Anyway, rewatching
but
that
also,
as an adult is weird. Yeah,
but also,
love
like,
that movie,
I think I brought this up earlier when we were talking. Sarah and I touched grass together today.
We did. We touched grass.
With Mike. It was really fun. We sat by the cloisters and we were just like, grass.
Grass on
me. There's probably still some
vitamin
of my jeans
D
on my bed.
In me.
But like, I really wish, and I'm kind of envious of the guys who are like full muscle steroid fuckboys online. Because this is the perception where, like, it just seems like their lives are so easy and carefree and fun. And I know that that's not true.
Rough to me.
No, I don't agree. I mean, I know some of them and I don't think they're that rough. It's just a different path that I've chosen not to take. I think that's what I'm trying to say is that I envy the perception of what other people are putting out, even though I also put out my own perception of my own life.
This is becoming
a minefield.
No,
we did
fine.
Not want this episode
no, okay.
to be this serious.
I just wanted to say, I don't think muscle.
That's why we started with Cal
Vagina. Muscle fuck boys have terrible lives. I don't think that. It's just such to keep up with the level of physique that they have. That sounds. When I say to me, that sounds.
Sure.
But I'm not saying that their lives are terrible.
I would say even on a more broad strokes, like the keeping up with the Joneses of it all. Not even just like the hard work that it takes to get to that point.
Yeah, I admire it.
It's just like you know, my I have a neighbor that talks about this too, where it's like the Mykonos and the gay cruise and the Atlantis cruise and the different events and this and the next thing. And for whatever reason, people feel like pressured to go to those things. It's like the Coachellas and the Burning Mans and everything else. Like the I've never played into feeling like I need either. To do that.
Yeah.
But I also think that like there's a part of me that wants that.
Yeah.
And I've always been kind of a contrarian little bitch ever since I was a kid. I remember one of my favorite things that I tell people is like I was in DC for World AIDS Day when I was like 8. And it was the first one.
Wow.
And I was there on a field trip with my school and my dad was there and my older sister were there.
Cool.
And we were walking around and I overheard someone or someone told us like, oh, my God, Boyz II Men is performing on the lawn. You should go. And my dad was like, do you guys want to go? And I was like, no, they're stupid.
Oh, OK.
Because like
too cool for school.
And it wasn't even that. It's just like I think there was a level of like, I just want to be different.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that like and be like a contrarian to be a brat.
Sure.
You know, and I don't think outwardly that has translated into my adult life, but there are certainly things that I have not done or chosen to do because I'm like, that's dumb.
Yeah, I know. You've talked about that before, though. There are certain things that we've even privately spoke of that you like won't do or you haven't done or you like didn't like it or, you know, and then we went and did it and you were like, this was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's something that's everyone.
I think this is Sarah subliminally trying to tell me that I need to go do an escape room with her and Mike because they have been begging me to go.
First off, let me just say he would be so good at it, but that's not what I was talking about. I was actually talking about watching like The Shining or walking in the parade and doing Pride.
Well, that I wanted to do.
I know, but you were like,
I'd never done it before.
Right, but there's so many, you know everyone. You could have walked in that parade that's 10 years ago. That's what I'm just saying.
Okay, fair. That's all fair I'm saying. Point.
I wasn't even talking about escape rooms, but we will talk about them. But that's what
I'm being bullied right in front of you.
Right in front of, this is a hate crime. No, okay, so all I'm saying is that I love that you're talking about this because everybody feels like this in different levels. Everyone feels like this in different waves. I'm doing the artist way. I'm almost done. I'm on my last chapter. But one of the things they keep reminding me is like, it's actually really harmful, A, to compare, B, to have the specific outcome. Like it has to be exactly what I want, this outcome, or I'm literally nothing.
Yeah.
Or like not that I'm saying that's what you're saying, but I'm saying
but
that like
kind of is.
Okay, I'm not trying to give you like say what you're saying. I want to imprint it.
I don't want to say it's literally nothing, but I think there's like a palpable level of like disappointment.
Sure.
Where it's like, well, this didn't turn out how it was supposed to turn out. Which like, what does that even mean?
Yeah. And whatever like, turns out how it's supposed to.
Yeah. Yuck. But like, but there is a level of that where it's just like, well, I failed.
And I've learned that as artists, if we're going to be artists, if we're going to be creative folks, it's never going to be what we think it is. Ever.
Ever.
It can't be. It can't be because that's not art. That's not how art works.
Literally, look at the pitch deck we were working on last night.
Yeah. Look at creativity in general. If it literally went from like, this is what I thought, this is how it turned out.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like, that's not creative. That's like corporate.
I know, but see, this is my problem.
I'm not because, saying it's your problem.
No,
but
like what you just said, it's not creative, it's corporate. Yeah. I have always been both.
Yeah, me too.
Ever since I was a child.
You have to separate. You have to know.
And I don't know how to separate at all.
Okay.
And so like I actually think that the deck we're working on for my book, Cancer, Musical Theater, and Other Chronic Illnesses, go buy it online, please. Sarah's having a stroke.
Third one.
Like that deck
is
a completely different deck than when we started out.
Love it.
For me, it's almost an exercise in letting go and letting creativity win.
Yes.
And not trying to jam what my preconceived assumptions of what I thought this was going to be in, like, putting that circle into a square.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it is not what I set out to make at all.
And it's so much better.
And it's so much better.
Exactly. And I think I've learned that when I made Dr. Seeds, but I think I learned that when I started creating more like scripted content more so, I started to notice that I would, when I let things, don't be like, I don't care, but like when you let, like we're doing right now, when we're collaborating, we're being really creative and we're seeing where it takes us and being open, it really elevates it. It's so much better than I could have. Like, Dr. Seeds, I feel the same way about. Like, I'm proud of it, actually. And a lot of people say, like, your first baby. I don't think it's my baby either. I don't like that term either. But, like, my first big thing, whatever, people will say, you're going to hate it later when you watch it. You're like, And I was like, I'm obsessed. I love it. And you know why? No, you know why? Not just because I'm a narcissist. No, just kidding. Not just because I believe in myself. I really am not. Well, you know, not just because I believe in what I do and I'm not comparing myself, because what do I compare it to anyway? But because I collaborated with so many people.
Yeah.
And, like, Lindsay is such a great collaborator. And she would push and say, like, well, what do you think about, like, moving? And I was like, at first I'd be like, no, run away. And I'd be like, oh, wait, that would be so much cooler.
Well, and that was always kind of, again, me being a nuisance. Like, I never understood writer's rooms, because I was like, oh, that's for people who, like, aren't creative enough to come up with their own ideas. Because I'm a dick.
That's wild.
But I mean, and it's not, and obviously, like, I don't really mean that.
No, but you felt that.
But it was kind of like, oh, I don't want to be in that, because, like, that just feels like.
Your inner artist is harmed.
She's harmed.
Yeah.
She's really damaged.
You haven't done the artist way. I've been trying to get you to do it.
What's your damage?
Yeah.
I started doing it. I wrote a whole journal for a really long time, and that was as far as I got.
So,
But, like, but
I think that would really help.
It. What was I going to
so
say?
Sorry.
You derailed me.
I know.
Sarah's good at derailing.
I'm a good derailer.
She's a derailer. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
We both are.
She's riding that D with Dr.
Derailing.
Seeds.
Anyway.
My soul just left my body.
I know.
I am disassociating.
It's fine.
No, what I was going to say is that
the writer's room of it all.
Yeah. Like, I felt that way to a degree because I had never written anything or collaborated on anything with myself. And with myself, with other people other than myself.
Or yourself.
But remember years ago when I had sent you that pilot I wrote, and I had sent it to, like, four other people who sent me notes back. And at first I was kind of indignant about it.
Yeah.
But then after I actually read the notes, I was like,
yeah, I had a couple.
Okay, y'all are right.
Yeah.
And then I never went back and fixed them.
I had
a couple, I'm going to.
But it was really fun and interesting.
Thank you.
And I had notes.
Thank you.
And I think everyone should have notes.
And not to
if
get
you don't
too,
have notes, it's weird.
It's weird. Like, your first, like, no. But yeah, so I just think it's what am I trying to say?
I'm here
I
for
need
it.
To stop being a dick to myself and about other people.
There it is.
And what the process is.
There it is. That is our moment of zen. Stop being
Can
a dick.
Can I please get a gold star for my self-awareness
can we have
in that
like
moment?
A, let's make our editors hate us. But, like, can we have just like a moment and, like, the more you know realness? Because copyright, we can't do that.
We can't do that.
But yeah, I was waiting for you to say stop being a dick to yourself. That's kind of what I've been waiting.
Well,
and it's so true.
Stop being a dick to yourself, but also stop being a dick about other people's processes.
Yeah.
And I don't think I am really now. I think when I was in the thick of trying to make my things happen, I was. Because I was like, I was so focused on how I was doing it that I didn't want to hear how other people were doing it, because it made me feel like I was doing everything wrong.
So this is going to sound like it may be a read. It's really not. But insecurity comes out in different forms. And
100%.
I think for us type A folks, that's actually how it comes out.
Of
when
course.
You're just like,
oh,
no,
it absolutely was insecurity.
Yeah, it's an insecurity.
Because
thing.
I was insecure about the way that I was doing it.
Yeah.
And because I didn't have tons of funds to make the things happen. And so I felt like paying attention to other people made me feel like I was failing because I didn't have the backing or the money or whatever to do the thing that I wanted to do that the other people were doing.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm just going to do this scrappy, and you put your blinders on and you're just like,
blinders. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, you know, I think the theme of this year is to not be a dick to myself. And also just to, like, now that summer is kind of kicking off, to just, like, enjoy myself a little more.
Because
I don't.
No, I know you
I'm
don't.
I'm so bad at that.
I want you
I
to.
I used to be fun, you guys.
Okay, first off, you're still fun. You're still fun. But you're not fun
just in
with
a different
yourself.
Way. No.
You're not nice to yourself. And I'm not saying you're constantly, like, you know, like, flagellate. You know, whatever that's called. That shit in the Da Vinci Code, that guy. Like, you're not doing that fully. But I feel like that's just something we all go through, but specifically as artists, and again, the artist way, guys, it literally spells it out how that's, like, literally self-harm, the constant, like, I didn't do this, therefore I don't make this, so therefore my art's not legit.
Yeah.
Or I didn't, because there's so many things, and everything is I would hope that your shit is nothing like what other people's I see or incomparable. I would hope my shit is not comparable to someone else's. Truly, I would love that because it's not me trying to be different, but it's just me being authentic. It's going to come out that way.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And if people don't get it, fuck it. Someone's going to, because we're all human beings and somebody's going to resonate with some of it.
Yeah.
And like this podcast right now, maybe some of the things we're saying, someone's like, guys, what the fuck? And then some, but I feel like a lot of people are probably hearing this and being like, wow, I didn't even realize that any of us were going through this or any of us felt this way based on what they see or based on what they think. And all of it is real. All of it is true. Like there are days where I'm on top of the world feeling, and I know you probably feel this way too, where I'm like, crush, kiki, kaka, kill. And then other days where you're like, the fuck am I doing? And that's awesome because that means we're human beings and we're experiencing things in real time and ingesting them. And I think for you specifically too, because I know you so well now, you are great at hearing feedback and making it part of your thing now. I think it's obviously something you've worked on because I hear that. And sometimes yes. I hear old things come up though when we're talking.
Sure.
Where you're like, no.
But like I've always been good with receiving feedback in a professional
capacity.
But you
applied it.
Right. Well, but I even remember when I was, I want to say fourth or fifth grade, however you old you are in that period of time.
A child.
Was the first musical I ever did.
Right.
It was the high school musical. I was in fourth grade. They asked me to come up and do it.
Oh, wait. Okay. So it wasn't high school musical?
Sing. No.
But it was a musical at a high school.
It was the high school that I was attending, about to attend in the future, their musical. They were doing The Wizard of Oz.
Okay, work.
I was asked to be the mayor of Munchkinland.
King.
I'll have to see if I can dig up a photo.
Oh, my God.
It's
I would love
iconic.
It.
But I said to my parents after the show, how was I? And they were like, oh, my God, you were great. Because I was eight or 9 years old, or however old you are. And of course, that's what they're going to say to me.
Sure.
And I yelled at them. And I was like, no. I was like, tell me what I can do better. I was like, I know I'm not the greatest person here. So like, tell me what I can do better. And I did the same thing when I was 12 and we did Joseph and I was Joseph. And they were like, you are so great. I was like, okay, but what can I do better?
Damn.
And it's because I've always wanted to do better and to be the best I can be. Be all you can be.
Yeah. But do you take the compliments at all?
I don't. I'm terrible at taking compliments.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
I think a lot of people are terrible at taking compliments.
Oh, no, I love them. So get them in you. Get them.
And there is the fundamental difference between Sarah Seeds and Edward Miskey.
I love a good compliment, but I also love a good critique. And that's the thing. If you can't take a warm compliment for someone that you respect or that just loves you, if you can't take that compliment, you can't love yourself. You need to take the compliment. You need to take it in. You need to appreciate it. You need to believe it. And then also, you can always do better. There's not all of that can coincide.
Yeah.
So compliments.
Yeah. Take it in.
Take it in.
Take it.
Take it.
Take it. Take in.
no, I think this is, and also do that.
And
sure.
Also with you.
And also with me.
Yes.
And may he be with you. Yeah. It's just one of those things that a lot of people have issues with, and I think it's very common, honestly, to be like, I don't like compliments. Compliments are hard. Da 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 da. I think the reason I'm secure in myself enough to know that a compliment doesn't mean I'm going to go off the rails and be like, you think I'm good? Done. Like, obviously, I'm going to keep working on everything.
Right.
And I trust friends' opinions. I trust people's opinions.
Sure. I think it.
But, of course, your parents are going to say that.
Of course.
But that's okay, too.
Well, I was going to comment on something else you said.
Sure.
I think it's like, I always thought, like, I'm aware enough of what I'm doing in a scenario to know what is good.
You are. Yeah.
But I also want to be told what wasn't and what needs work.
Sure.
And to me, that is more exciting. That's the wrong word. Interesting.
Sure.
Especially in a collaborative process like doing theater or something. Like, I want to know what can be improved because that means I get to go do some work and I get to go figure out the things. And being told, oh, my God, you're so great. Oh, my God, you look great. Like,
that's very surface, though.
Sure, but it didn't ever do anything for me because it felt hollow.
Okay.
And then it became like, you know, the stage door after a show where you're like, oh, my God, thank you so much. I want to sign the playbill. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
And I never cared about that. Like, yeah, it's fun. You can go out and meet people and smile and
but it's not
whatever. But it's like
nourishing your soul.
No.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. No, I don't like surface comments. I don't like whatever. But if someone's like, wow, I really loved you in that. I felt like you really embodied the blah, blah, blah. I really felt emotional, especially when you hit on the da-da. I find that to be fantastic. a compliment that really, it's good. Or your hair looks great today. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Thank you. I paid so much money for it. You had a wispy moment.
I love your little tundral. I said that last night on The King, and I meant it then.
My
tundral.
A tundral. I've never heard that term.
A tundral. A little tundral. Like last night we were on Zoom, and I said I loved your little tundral moment.
Oh, that's right.
And I meant it. Yeah. I didn't say it just to be like, oh, my tundral. Like, I really mean it.
I've literally never heard that word before in my life.
Well, you know, that's the... What, are we going to be Pee-wee's Playhouse? Like, tendril! Wow, she said
the word of the day.
A tendril counter, no more. I'm sorry, please, editors are, like, going to kill us. but anyway, yeah, I think this is all good stuff. And I think this is also a sign, though, that please be kinder to yourself. And to those who are listening, please, like, if you need it, seek... Just, you can do it for a little bit. Seek some sort of mental help if you feel like you're not getting out of a hole that you'd like to get out of. Or you feel like everything sucks. Or you feel like... Nothing, if you feel like it's very, like, futile or futile, whatever. I'm from the South. What am I going to? Futile or things are, you're burning out. Like, those are the times to really check in with yourself and talk to somebody about it. It's helped me. It's helped me repeatedly. And the artist way, again.
We should have an artist way counter.
Yeah, we really should. And I would,
ding.
Because I think I'm on my fourth journal now, and I'm on chapter whatever, 11, but it's my second time doing it. I, for some reason, couldn't finish the sequel, but I'm excited to do it after this. For some reason, I kept stopping myself. That's a blockage. That means something was wrong, where I wasn't...
Nobody likes a blockage.
Oh, nobody.
Nobody.
Anywhere. Block me. I can block someone, but I don't like a blockage. Well, you know, so I think everyone's going to hear this and be like, this is a great episode to... mentally check in, because I've loved our episodes so far. I think they're fantastic. We've had fabulous guests, and we've had our...
This is the most serious we've ever been.
Yeah, and I think...
We're never serious.
Oh.
I feel like I need to whip a tit out just to like lighten the mood.
Tell me more. Tell me less. but no, I think we've gotten this serious when we were just on the couch talking about stuff. We've gotten really
deep about stuff. We did talk about getting back into our audio-only brains.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to go audio only, because this is too fabulous to give up.
I mean, look at that.
Hello.
Look at this.
Look at this. Look at this.
Look at us. Look at these. yeah, so I think this is going to be helpful. It's helping me, and it's also like, I think it's really good that you're talking about how you're feeling right now, because this is a time. It doesn't have to be.
It is a time. It's such a weird year, and we're also coming out of retrograde into retro shade, and nobody loves that.
That
at
is
all.
Mad real. Everything goes fuckery. At
and, like,
time.
I don't even want to be the person that's like, oh, my God, my entire personality hinges on Mercury retrograde.
Not at all.
But, like, I had a really rough day this week that I, like, internally felt such turmoil.
Yeah.
And just kind of muscled through and whatever. And then the next day, one of the guys that I followed who's really into astrology.
Sure.
Posted something about how, like, yesterday was the last day of Mercury in retrograde. And if you felt like you were going crazy, that's why. And I was like, oh...
That explains it. It really does. And it's also like what we're doing right now is helping people feel seen. And when somebody says, hey, the whole thing going on right now, this universal thing, it's fucking up right now. And I noticed that too. And we still push forward with our trip, and we still did all the things that we do, because I never don't do things because of it. But I just keep in mind that she's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like anything else. You're like, I know you're there. I know I'm dealing with something right now, but I'm just going to keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know?
And I also bring this up, obviously, for my own benefit. But, like, I know from other people posting on social media within the last week or two that, like, people are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just saw someone that I follow post about how he just started medication to, like, try and be more present and be a better person and show up for himself as well as for his friends.
Right.
And
you can't show up for your friend if you don't show up for yourself. It's impossible.
No, it's impossible. Again, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We love her.
We love her, Maslow.
But yeah, and like, again, I never want to turn these things into like therapy sessions, because I want it to be more fun than that. But it's just so real, like, to, you know, so real, like J-Lo from the blog. She's so real. she's not.
No comment.
To just kind of like have a commentary about it, because like, truthfully, we talked about this before we got here. Like, I was so not in a headspace for this today.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm so glad that we are dragging me through it, kicking and screaming.
Yeah, and we're channeling what we feel.
Yeah,
being honest and I open.
Think it's again like it's the honesty, transparency, and openness about it too. Because like we started this podcast at a time where I was kind of in a weird place anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and we've both had quite a journey over the last year. Mm. Still on it.
Yeah. We all are. If I'm not still on this journey, bitch, I'm dead. So I want to be on this journey.
But you know what I mean.
Yes, like I know what you're saying.
The roller coaster.
The roller coaster. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm not saying I don't want to be on a journey and be dead or anything.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you find that you're not on a journey anymore, even if some of it's like a little pushbacky stuff, then I get concerned because I'm like, oh, how am I not being in it?
Yeah.
You know, like when I stop feeling at least like some sort of like, okay, you know, got through this and I'm going to do this and it's next. And if things are difficult or hard, like that's me leveling up. And so when I'm off the roller coaster, I'm like, oh, girl, that means I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. Well, and I think we definitely talked about this on a previous episode, too, where like the feeling of needing to be challenged when things get too easy, when they get too stagnant, yeah. You know, whatever. And I think this is a version of that.
It is.
Where it's like
it's 100% that.
Yeah.
And I think just being OK with like this is an episode about us, like, talking about what's going on. I think this might be one of my favorite ones we've done.
Interesting.
That's how I feel. I really love it. I just think people are interesting. I think human beings are interesting.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that the times that we're living in are so strange.
There's a
also,
lot going on.
That like having talks like this is necessary because so many people, again, with like the performativeness of social media, are afraid to post anything about how they really feel because there's so much happening that like piling onto it is just not helpful sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I've mentioned this too, but like, there's some people that just don't have a reliable circle of friends that they feel like they can lean on, and that sucks.
That's horrible.
You know, and I've felt a little bit shaken in that department in the last couple months to a year as well.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not a good feeling. And so that on top of everything else, on top of everything else, on top of everything else is just kind of like, interesting.
And I have to say, too, I've learned – I used to be, like, never a crier at all, and we were talking about that earlier. It just would make me think of something. And just for vulnerability, like – I've started to be more open and allowing my feelings to be right on the edge. If I feel like if this is something I care about and I'm feeling like I may cry, I just let myself now. And one of the things recently was the law, the 1800s law about women that happened recently in Arizona. Hopefully it won't happen, but it's just so dehumanizing and depressing. And I let myself be upset and cry. I did a video where I just filmed like my couch, but I vocally was talking about it. And I had so many people communicate with me, not to be like, aw, but to be like, I feel this way too. Thank you for, I don't know, just like, it's fucked up. And I'm not making it about just that. There's so many, you know, and I'm still doing what I'm doing. But I'm just saying, in spite of all the craziness happening, we have to be aware that our what we involve ourselves in, what we prop up, what we like, what we repost, what we spend our attention towards, what we do, really creates the world around us. And I think it's really important to either protect yourself by not engaging in some things going on right now, or for me, I feel more empowered in specific things that I feel very educated towards, like having a vagina, you know, like
a barrel full of vaginas.
A barrel full of vaginas. I have a barrel and I have me too. I got a barrel and me, duck vagina specifically. And so, yeah, I think that's really helpful too. And I am going to spend this year making sure that those kind of fuckery, stupid fuck laws that were caused by Donald Trump padding the Supreme Court with really extreme religious right wing, and I say lowercase s supreme, not. Is why we're here, and we cannot let that happen again. It will only get worse, and I'm here to not allow that. So my thing is like, I'm going to use my energy for that, but also enjoy myself in this world, in this, because no matter what, women will still be here, queer people will still be here, artists will still be here. You can't erase us. You won't. So get the fuck over it. And I think we're going to be amazing because we're being open and we're talking to people, and we are on our way up in many ways, whether it's it doesn't matter if it's monetary or attention. It's like us doing our thing is a way up. That's the way to be.
Sure. And I wanted to kind of rewind a little bit and comment on what you were saying about creating the reality around you with what you interact with and what you expose yourself to. Like, just the social media of it all. Like, I am so tired of all of it. Like, there's such a moment. Where I'm just like, oh, my God. I used to really enjoy, like, falling asleep watching TikToks and listening to people talk to me about things. I used to really like, you know, scrolling through what my friends are doing on Instagram. I barely use Facebook. And I'm just like so over it because like I don't know if it's like an oversaturation of things and like people posting about all the kinds of craziness going on in the world, or I'm not really sure what it is, but it's kind of, maybe it's the Ozempic.
We haven't said her enough.
Because that kind of like changes the way that you crave things. Like it's changed the way that I feel about like the taste of alcohol to me even is gone. So like maybe this is another thing that it's kind of taking away this vice of needing to be on social media. And maybe like maybe I'm just making that up. But whatever the case may be, it's just like I don't even want to do it anymore.
I
don't find the same joy in it. And it's kind of figuring out what is burnout, what is not, what's... what I'm injecting into my body, and like and it really is kind of about figuring out what I'm good with and what I'm not good with, because I like, there is such a dream to just like put my phone down, never touch it again, and just like just like see people in person. But I also think what's really interesting about this too, I was thinking about this the other day, how would we ever communicate with each other, because nobody has
smoke signals,
nobody has a landline anymore,
carrier pigeons.
I was going to say pigeons.
Yeah, Pidge.
The Pidge. I saw the saddest post about pigeons.
So did
day.
I. It's the one where we... It's
we domesticated
the sad,
them.
We domesticated them and then abandoned
them. And so they have no survival skills. LOL.
Fucking monsters.
We are.
That's why I'm a vegan. But yes.
Yes, with all those pigeons that we're eating.
Yeah, because... Well, no, I don't think we...
You can actually eat pigeon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we
maybe
shit on them
you.
All the time, literally and figuratively.
Actually, they shit on us.
Yeah, they shit on us. Actually, they should.
They literally have.
The right have. To,
I
honestly.
Literally was walking.
Me too. I've been
this,
shit on.
I was going to say a couple weeks ago. This was last year. She has no concept of time.
None.
Was walking to buy shirts for work, and one just.
Yeah, that's a good luck sign.
It just.
No, there was a post. Not to get too in the weeds on it because it's a bummer as fuck, but like it's essentially that we used them so much in so many ways and taught them and domesticated them, so their skills got lost in the wild. And then we were like,
we don't need you anymore.
Dead. And now we're just like shitbirds, ugly, stupid, and we just like throw negativity at them, in which I get it. But we throw negativity at them, and then they're just like around these metropolises not really understanding what to do.
Just looking for food all the time.
Yeah, it's really
fucked. Because we don't feed them anymore.
You know. We're fucking monsters.
Are we pigeons? Are we all pigeons?
Yeah, I think we're parasites, humans, but, you know, artistic ones, though.
I think we're pigeons. I think we've been domesticated.
Okay, we're pigeons.
And we have no survival skills anymore.
Oh, yeah, agreed. Or we're aliens.
And so...
Yeah. I mean, literally.
We're aliens.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Ancient
Speaking
aliens.
Of going off the rails.
Yeah, no, I just like to say stupid shit because you know I don't actually believe that. Like when I went to Egypt and I was like, oh, cool. As you can see, the pyramids were built by humans. You can see how they did it. Anyway, fuck it.
They were made by aliens.
Yeah, they weren't. They weren't. Egyptians are magical humans,
they
but they did
are.
It. Yeah. But yeah, I guess to finish. So we have been. I loved this, though. I don't know. I know you feel really freaked out or something. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know if I feel freaked
it?
Out.
Yeah, how would I describe your face right now? I don't know, for those who watch.
So for basically what we just talked about.
Yeah.
What's going on in my mind right now is, like, this was a really great episode. I'm so glad we talked about this. People are going to hate it because it's not our usual content.
It is. It's still us freaking wild.
Totally. Yeah. But I'm having like the corporate, this isn't what I thought tonight was going to be. This is happening in real time. Y'all.
See this eye roll? Zoom in. Zoom in on my eyes. No, but I feel you. And I, of course, but I loved where this went. It could have gone, dude, think about the comparison. You could have walked in here and just been like, no. And
no.
I would be like, all right, so anyway,
no. I'm
what's
just
a good
let
joke?
Sarah talk for an hour here. I'm just going to sit over here and.
Not that he would ever. He would never.
I totally would.
Okay.
Great. Challenge accepted. Next episode.
No, because you love me and care. You wouldn't be like, yeah, I know I'm here, but I'm just not
Sarah,
it today.
Just talk.
Just
I'm gonna sit over here.
I feel like you would still, whatever. But my point is that this was a compliment, by the way, I was trying to give you, but you were not.
I'm terrible at compliments.
You're terrible at compliments,
you're seeing this
obviously.
My psychosis is happening in real time here,
we're
everyone.
We're all watching it. We're all witnessing it. But yeah, no, I think this was fab. And I think what our goal is now is to just always. So I think what we're doing is we're bridging the gap between what had people listen to us in the first place, not just look at us, but listen, is because we are mad real about stuff. I mean, we have to talk about our wins, and we have to talk about when we're dealing with what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
That's what I say. I say fuck it. Fuck it.
Let's try that again. One, two, three. Fuck it. Yeah. You know, I also think what's really funny here is that, like, I'm holding these pretending that we have questions on here. We don't.
Oh, we have so many.
We have so many questions on here. Yeah. I did do my part of printing our standard, but, you know, like, today was just kind of, I think but the reason why this happened and why I didn't actually put anything too specific on here is because I feel like deep down I knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that we were going to have like a come to
Jesus,
come to Gaga
come
moment.
Come to yes, thank you. Come to Beyonce moment.
Come to Beyonce moment.
Come to Cowboy Carter moment.
Yes.
Which, by the way, that album. We were talking about music, remember? And we were like, I'm bored. And like, no one's really giving. And
but here's the thing.
It's still her. But
the caveat to that was that there are no new people giving.
Sure.
We expect Beyonce to give.
I know, but she's always giving. But I have to give her flowers. Like, honestly, like, regardless if it's Beyonce. Beyonce is Beyonce. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's Beyonce.
I'll be your shotgun rider.
Till the day I die. Anyway. Miley and her. Anyway, the bodyguard song. Be your bodyguard.
I know. We could go through the whole discography. Okay, sorry. Whatever.
So that's what I, you know, recently. Yeah, that's my rec. Honestly, I know we don't. We give recs.
I did it the other night. I'd like, you know, and not to pit them against each other, but the Taylor album is not living for me.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm a huge fan. Okay. Still love her. Not for me.
Doesn't mean she's not it.
But the Cowboy Carter album, like, is. I put that on the other day and I listened to it straight through twice.
That's what I did with Renaissance, and now I'm doing it with Cowboy, and now I'm like, why did I ever doubt her? Because the thing is like, Renaissance came out, and I was like, oh, this is my year. Like, this is it. And then she's coming out with a country one. I was like, okay, well, we'll see. And then I'm an idiot because it came out, and it was perfection.
Doubting Sarah.
And it's like, you know what? Why do I doubt Beyonce? Does anyone doubt God? No. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. Shout out to our editors, our producers.
All the things.
I mean, it's not. It's
let's just discredit our own work.
No. I'm not discrediting. I'm just saying.
No, I hear you. Anyway, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Fuck it.
Anyway, guys, this has been very heavy for me, especially this week. So I feel like roadkill right now, and I'm going to go home and have some water.
Yeah, have some water.
Because she's not drinking.
Hydrate. Hydration station.
If your tongue is white, it means you're dehydrated.
Yeah, you know what I mean. but thank you so much, guys. And you guys have a fabulous day.
I have been a rich bitch. Wow, that's not the name of our podcast.
I was once a rich bitch.
I was once upon a time a wealthy female dog.
Yes, I will. That's it. That's what the bitch is. That's right. And thank you guys so much for listening to I Want to Be a Bitch. And I want to be a bitch. I want to be a rich.
We're losing it today. This is not going well.
I love it.
This has been I Want to Be a Rich Bitch. I'm your host, Edward Miskey.
And I'm your other host, Sarah Seeds.
Follow us on the things.
And leave the money on the table.
Pay me.
Oh my God, that's a cut. Thank you, God.
Wrap. I want to be a rich bitch. Penthouse store man, money, rich bitch. Hey, give me that bag. Rich bitch. Yes. You're so rich. Pay me.